This term, does anyone know what we've been going through? I didn't organise this before because I was disorganised, but does anyone have a Bible that they'd like to read the passage we've been going through over the term? So it's Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. Thanks, Alex.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure in will, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who worked out everything with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you are also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit.
Cool. Thanks, Alex. I'm going to pray before I open God's word. Yeah, dear Lord, I thank you so much that you have saved us. Not that we chose you, but that you came and got us when we were running away from you. As we open your word tonight, Lord, I ask that you would come into our hearts and minds and help us to understand, and that you would transform us and convince us of the truth so that we might be to the praise of your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to ask you guys if you could remember your earliest memory, or what is your earliest memory? Can anyone actually remember what their earliest memory is? Is there anyone who'd like... Emma?
Yeah, it was probably significant to anybody, but my grandmother died when I was two.
Wow.
And I distinctly remember walking to the front door. I don't think the front door was new. That's it. That's the end of the memory.
Yeah, wow, 2 years old. That's an early memory. I wanted to share with you one of my earliest memories. Our family lived in England between when I was 3 and when I was 6. So my sister Laura was born in England. My dad was in the Navy and he got sent over there on exchange. So we got to live in England for 3 years. I started school there. And one of my earliest memories, I remember walking home from school, and it was must have been winter because I remember snow. We were in one of those areas of England where it snows. And I think I was really into micro machines when I was little, you know, those tiny little cars that you... I saw you guys playing with them out there, you know what I'm talking about. And I lost it on the way home. I lost my little micro machine car. And I think it must have been pretty traumatic, which is why it's my first memory. And I don't know why, but that stands out as my first memory. I was probably 5 years old, started school. But I wonder what we can actually remember from when we were really little. Emma said that she remembers being 2 years old, but as a baby, what can we remember as a baby? We're completely helpless when we're kids, aren't we? Can't even wipe our butts, let alone go and get a drink from the fridge when we're thirsty. And babies are just so fragile. If you left one by itself, newly born, it's not going to survive at all. It's completely dependent on its parents, and it just has no idea what's really going on. I mean, consider that for a baby, its dad has to go to work 5 days a week, slaving it out to bring in an income, to pay off the mortgage, to buy the baby nappies, to put food on the table. The baby doesn't understand any of that. The baby doesn't understand that its mum had 9 months of pregnancy just to give it life, and let alone understanding all the big questions of life. What is life about? Who am I? What am I going to do after the HSC? All it knows about is crying. And babies are completely dependent on their parents. And this is kind of what it's like for humans and God. But even more so than a baby is dependent on its parents, completely dependent on its parents, we are completely dependent on God, because God is in control of all of life. To use a theological word, God is sovereign over everything. God is in control. You're taking a breath right now. The only reason you can do that is because God is ordering the universe and He's ordained that you can breathe right now. Every day is a gift from God, and He is at work behind all of life. The big stuff, making sure the earth continues to rotate around the sun, the moon around the earth, the thunderstorm that we had this afternoon. Did everyone else have a thunderstorm? I had one up the mountains where I was working. Not down where you were?
Kind of weak.
Yeah. A whoosh storm. Well, God is not only in control of all that big stuff, but the nitty-gritty aspects of our life as well. His purpose too is in your family. What mark you guys will get in your HSC. Who you're going to marry. All of that is in God's control. And most people just don't have any idea of this at all. They're like the baby who has no idea that its father has to go to work. All they know is crying. They have no idea of the sacrifice. The baby has no idea of the sacrifice and love of its parents to give it life. And so for us as well, we have no idea of the sacrifice and love of God to give us life. Because God's not only in control of that big stuff, but God is in control of winning us life, giving us salvation so that we can live. So how do we talk about that? How do we talk about salvation? I skipped a slide. That was supposed to be big and little. How do we talk about salvation? This guy. I don't know if you can read that, but I chose... So this might be an example of someone talking about how they came to become a Christian. You might have had an opportunity to give your testimony or write it out in preparation for telling people about Jesus, but a lot of people talk about it like this. Not too bad. I chose to follow Jesus. When I was 17, I knew about Jesus and I wanted the life He had to offer. I knew that He came to forgive me, and I took it up and started following Jesus. It's changed everything. How does this guy talk about it? I did this. I did that. Which is true in a sense. We need to remember that God is behind salvation. Let's look at how Ephesians 1 talks about salvation. He chose us. He predestined us to be adopted. He has given us His glorious grace. In Him we have redemption. He made known to us the mystery of His will. We were marked with the Holy Spirit. Because the gospel is all about God relentlessly pursuing His people. It's not about a choice that we make. It's about God pursuing us as His people. Because salvation is God's idea. Salvation is His initiative. And the beauty of the gospel is that God loves us when we were running away from Him. When we had no love for Him whatsoever. Because it's in God's nature to love. Not because of us, but because that's who God is. It's not that we chose God. It's that He chose us. Paul goes on in Ephesians 2, verse 1, to say that we were dead in our sins. Now, can a dead man just make himself alive? Is there anything in us that can move us from death to life? Can we do this? Can a dead man make himself alive? No, of course not. We need the same power that raised Jesus from the dead to invade our lives to give us life. It's nothing within us that completely turn us around. This is all from God. If we try and talk about salvation as being something that we've chosen, all our doing, it's kind of like saying that the stir fry that Catherine cooks me, really delicious by the way, it's just jumped out of the pantry, jumped out of the fridge, cut itself up on the bench, cooked itself in the wok, served itself up and presented it to me for my enjoyment, all by itself. That's what it's like saying. It's ridiculous. Salvation isn't from us, it's from God. It's his idea and he gets all the praise because of it. And each week, as we go through Ephesians, this is what we're seeing. It's God who is relentlessly pursuing his people, saving his people, glorifying his name. So if this is all true, how are we going to live? What does it look like to live under the sovereign God who ordains not only the whole universe, but the nitty-gritty details of our lives, and who relentlessly pursues us to give us life? The first thing I would say, and this is the starting point for all Christians, is humility. Because the truth is that we are nuts, running away from God, dead in our sins. We don't save ourselves. And if we're living like we're the king of our lives, you know, we might get some worldly success, but we're nothing. Because the life of Christ hasn't come into our life. We need to get ourselves out of the way. We need to put to death our sin. We need to get rid of the evil inclinations of our hearts. We can't trust ourselves. We need to get ourselves out of the way and let Christ come in. And this will mean a radically transformed life. Because we'll be concerned with the things of the kingdom of Jesus. Our lives will be about sacrifice. Our lives will be about surrender. Our lives will be about love and service. Rather than chasing after all the empty promises of the world, riches and success, things that are empty and offer no hope. We're not going to boast in ourselves. We're going to boast in Christ, who gets all the glory, because he's the one that saved us. We're going to live lives of worship. Because God has made us fully alive from death. Our whole lives will be oriented towards him in worship. He deserves everything from us, and he demands our whole life. The call to follow Jesus is a call to come and die. And God tells us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. And as Ephesians 1 says, this is all to his praise and glory. Our lives are all to God's praise and glory. We will live in assurance, because our salvation isn't based upon ourselves. It's based on what God has done for us. There's no fear that we can stuff it up. He's done it all. There's nothing left for us to do. We're going to live in hope. Hard times will come for Christians, for all people. Opposition for the sake of the gospel, sickness, betrayal, loneliness, temptation, trials of all sorts. But God is working his purpose out behind all of it. We can rest assured that no matter what is happening in each of your lives, and stuff is going on right now, stuff that you are struggling with, God is working according to his sovereign plan. And that gives us great hope, knowing that he is working ultimately for our good if we trust Jesus and for his glory. And when the storms of life come, we know that they're not going to last forever. God is there with us. The Christian life is a life of suffering. Only for a little while. It's only 80 years. And then we enter an eternity of life and glory. And so we live in hope, waiting for that day of life to come. Because this isn't it. This is as close to hell as we get, guys. We live a life of love. Because God has loved us, we're going to love other people. And this is what the Spirit compels us to do. As our lives are transformed, we're going to be the servant of many people. We're going to walk the cross walk. We're going to live the cross life, communicating the love of God in the gospel to a broken world. And we're going to live lives of mission. Just as God has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ, accomplished all these amazing things in salvation and being so good to us, we know that he's still at work today, offering the same thing to the people at Springwood, to the mountains, to Australia, all over the world. God is still pursuing his people in love. God is the one who is at work, but he offers us to come play along, and it's such a joy to be a part of it. We are his agents of mission in this world. We know what God is doing, and we offer ourselves for his work, knowing that we're not going to convince anyone of the truth. It's God and His Spirit that's going to be at work. And that just releases us from any pressure. Because God's going to be the one who's doing it. He's going to strengthen you. He's given you the spirit of, not of timidity, but of love and power and self-discipline, so that we're not ashamed to testify about the Lord, and we're willing to suffer for the gospel. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy. Do not be ashamed to testify about me, but suffer for the gospel by the power of God. It's the same power that's in our lives. It's completely changed us around, and that now compels us to serve, compels us to tell people about Jesus. So I'm going to pray for us. Dear Lord God, we thank you that you are in control of our lives, and we know that there's so much going on. So many of us are hurting and broken. And we just ask that you will come and give us hope, that you will come and assure us of our salvation, and that you will lighten our burden. Lord, we just want to live under your sovereignty. We want to live lives of worship, offering ourselves to you, not holding on to our lives, but losing it for your sake so that we can truly gain life. Lord, we thank you that you have pursued us, that you have loved us, and that our hope is secure in Christ. We just want our lives to honour you, and so we offer ourselves now for the work of your kingdom, whatever that means, whatever the cost, we offer ourselves now, Lord, and we ask that you would use Charlie's powerfully, that people would see the glory of Jesus, and that people would be transformed by your Spirit, and that you would use us, even though we're nothing, that you would give us the joy of seeing many people saved in Springwood. Just continue to fill us, Lord, and humble us to offer ourselves whatever you ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll go to groups. Keep on thinking about it and talking about it.